You guys remember way long time ago when when I was last here. What? Oh, junior church. Get out of here. Just get us dismissed out of here. But we're talking the idea of submission, and actually recorded the sermon. Actually, I was long a couple weeks ago. And because the subject is so big, we start talking about authority and, you know, especially God's authority and how it all comes down from Him. And Peter starts sharing here the idea of, look, as Christians, how are we supposed to live in this world? And he's going to go through a whole list of things for us as Christians to let our testimony shine in the dark world that we're in. Of course, Peter and even Paul, the time that they lived was very dark times. Nero was the emperor who was a very wicked man who very much persecuted the church. And so as much as we talk about our government and complain about our government, we're not quite up to the as bad as they had it then. And so for them to say, hey, look, this is how you live. Live the Christian life in the midst of this world. How much more so should be easy for us? I mean, it's easy to say, well, things are bad, but this is our reality right now. And I'm struggling right now, you know, so it doesn't matter how bad it was before. This is my reality. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do. And so Peter tells us, and he starts telling us things that we can do and actually be proactive in our Christian lives, that we can keep that focus, that we can keep that direction of walking towards Him and let our light so shine. So he talks about here, in this passage here, he talks about being submissive to the government. And this is one of those passages that, in the flesh, I'd just like to skip over. You know, because I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. Right? I want to be independent. And yet, it's so imperative. Peter starts here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17. It says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And he starts off here with therefore submit. I don't know if it's showing up really well here. But here he talks about therefore submit. And we're going to look at this idea of submitting, because really when we submit to the authority that's over us, when we submit to the government, who are we really submitting to? Christ, right? It says, look, yourselves every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, right? And as we start talking about living in this world, our mindset starts to look, this world's not our home, we're just passing through. And especially as us, as Americans, we've really kind of entangled our Christianity with our Americanism. And I think really as we start looking at this world, we're starting to see that sort of uncoupling starting to take place. That our nation, in a large part, is going in an opposite direction from what the scripture mandates are. And it unsettles me, you know, because I'm a red-blooded American, red, white, and blue. I mean, to me, I'm glad I live in this country, and I'm still glad we live in this country. But it's getting harder as a Christian, if you want to say, sort of straddle that fence of what our government's doing along with my Christian responsibility. I don't know if anyone else is feeling that. And I don't care what party you're talking about, right? It comes down, it's like, oh. And so Peter tells us, look, keep in mind, as I'm listening to the government, I'm submitting to them, I'm actually doing it for the Lord's sake. The Lord wants me to do this. Actually, he goes on a little bit further. It says, as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. For this is the will of God. This is really strong language. And I think, because I'm sure for the early church, who looked at it and said, wait a minute, Peter, you want me to listen to the Romans? You want me to listen to Nero? You want me to obey the laws? No way! And Peter says, no, you need to realize the language here is, look, as I submit to the government, I'm submitting to God. I'm doing it for God's sake. Lord, if I love you, I will do what you ask me to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So this is the will of God. A lot of us kind of struggle. God, what do you want me to do, right? What? You want me to sell my house or not? Do you want me to have a new job or not? Do you want me to move? What are these things? What is your will? Do you want me to send my kids to school? Or do you want me, right? We struggle with the will of God. And yet, God often will tell us straight out some of the things he wants us to do. And this is one of them. This is the will of God. But notice the reason why. He says, this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Right? As we call ourselves Christians, I think most of us would agree that this nation needs the Lord. Would you agree with that? More so than ever before? Yeah. Well, how is it going to know it? How is this nation going to know Christ? Guess how? By us. That when people look at our lives and look at what we say and look at what we do, are we bringing people closer to God? Or are we driving them further away? And that's a challenge, isn't it? If by my actions and by my words, if I am pushing people further from God, then I am not fulfilling God's will. God's will is that by my life, by what I do, even the idea of listening to the laws and obeying the laws, of falling myself under that good citizenship of this world, that in here is God's will that we are here. Think about this. We are the chosen generation to go through this. Right? It's not by chance that we are here today in this COVID situation. It's not by chance. We are the chosen generation to represent Christ in this world today. That kind of sounds kind of serious, isn't it? In this dark time, we are the ones that are chosen to shine for Jesus Christ. It's the will of God. And how we do that is by our obedience, by our submission to the government, Peter says, as a bondservant of God. And I love this because Peter keeps coming back to this idea of, look, as I'm serving, and he's going to go later on, he's going to talk about in the workplace to our bosses, he'd go a little bit later on, husbands and wives. I mean, he talks about this idea of submission goes into all these other areas. But truly, I am obedient, not because the president or the governor deserves it. I won't go into that. But because God has asked me to. It's God's will that by my obedience, by being a good citizen, that I can be a good testimony to the world around me. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about the idea of what submission is not. Does it mean I agree? Does it mean I condone it? Right? All those things. And so, are we known for it? Years ago, I knew a gentleman, and right now we talk about the COVID thing, but this carries in over all the laws and regulations. There's a guy who was a Christian logger. He owned a logging company up north. And I went out, actually I've never been around that before. It's a pretty neat operation. You ever seen the old harvesters? They go out there and grab the trees and it cuts it and, and moving stuff and putting them on the skidders and hauling them out. I mean, it's quite the operation to see. And he was out showing me all these things, his business. And I was quite impressed with everything that was taking place. And while I was there, one of the guys came in and said, I won't say his name. He goes, I just want you to know that the state has come and taken one of your trucks. And he's like, oh, not again. I just kind of sat back and soaked this in. And he goes, you know, it was overweight, the truck was out of inspection. He listed all these regulations that he had broken. And he turned to me and goes, well, you got to understand, Pastor. He goes, this is the cost of doing business. You try to get away with it as much as you can. You guys deal with all this all the time, right? He goes, I don't recommend this guy's as bad. But he's like, you get away with as much as you can, and then you just pay your fine, and that's just the cost of doing business. I don't think that's the way it works. Now, I was pastor there for several years and got to know some of the other guys in that business because that was the main business up in that part of the world. And so I started talking to some of the other guys, and they're like, oh, so-and-so goes to your church. Yeah. He goes, he's the biggest cheat. He's the biggest. And going through, this guy had no testimony at all. And, you know, I talked to the guy. I said, hey, you know, what's up? He goes, well, I invite him to church, but they don't want to come. Why? Because his testimony were turning people away from Christ. People watch. People know. You know, over the years, I've been known to have a lead foot. And probably one of the final straws was actually I got pulled over right in front of the church on Sunday. Not a good thing. And I'm sitting there and everyone's coming to church, and oh, there's the pastor, and there's Mr. Police Officer. Right? And I'm like, how in the world are these people going to listen to me when they just saw what I did? It's like, oh, I got to be careful. I don't like it. I don't like the speed limit. I don't like these rules. I don't like these regulations. But for the Lord's sake, he asked me to do it. You know, many of us would say, okay, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'll go where you want me to go. God says, look, I want you to submit to the authorities I have put over you. Anything but that. Right? But this is the will of God, to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as a bondservant of Christ. Take a look, because in here, the big part of this, of why, right? We do it unto the Lord, but really a big part of it is what's our testimony to the world that we are here to reach. You know what it says here? As those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do what? Good. Are our deeds good? Are they acknowledged as being good? And by doing that, people's ears were open. So for this is the will of God, that by doing what? Good. You can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So well, the hardest thing is when you try to witness and try to share the gospel to someone else, and they can point to you and list all your faults and all your... And don't get me wrong, we all fall short. And I'll admit, I'm not always good. But what's my testimony to those around me in this world that I'm trying to reach? Especially today. Because between social media, there's so much trash that's out there. I don't want to add to that. That doesn't add glory to God. So I'm talking to my neighbors and I'm talking to those around me. Are my words good? And if not, then I'm harming the cause of Christ. Romans chapter 13, Paul picks up the same theme as Peter does here. Peter's a little more lengthy. He has 7 verses here in chapter 13. But it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for the rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you have praise of the same. We're going to continue on the verse, but I want to just parse this out. Notice what he says here. The same theme we see as Peter picks up. He says, there's no authority except from whom? God. So our governor, God's her authority, not just from the people, but ultimately from God. Our president, God's authority, not just from the people, but from God. There's no authority except for God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God has given us the governor. He has given us the selectman. He has given us the president that he wants at this period of time. Now, sometimes God gives us what we deserve. We're going to cover that in just a little bit. But God's the one who puts this in there. And I kind of cringe because I hear a lot of Christians will turn around, well, that's not my governor or that's not my president, right? We kind of have this divided thing. And that's not biblical. God is the one who put these ones in authority. It's an interesting study I was reading through, and you follow out through the scriptures. And Israel had spent a lot of time being captive with other nations. And time again, I looked at a lot of the dialogues. It's interesting, as David was brought, Daniel was brought in, and they were just, look, here's some unclean food to eat. He said, you can't do that. And you listen to the dialogue between himself and the authorities. There's always this respect that's given. You follow Daniel, comes up to the king, oh, king, may you live forever. Esther, may you follow the story of Esther, that she comes in and talks to the king, and she comes in, and oh, king, and we see this reverence that's given, this acknowledgement of the authority that's given. We go back to even Nehemiah, heading back to build the wall, and he comes up through, once again, king. We see this respect that's given to the authorities in there, not for necessarily for just for their sake, because God is the one who put that authority above us. There's no authority except for God. And so when in here, notice what it says, therefore who resists the authority, right? If I am rebellious against the authorities, who am I really rebellious against? God. I know you don't want to say that, do you? Right? But I'm resisting the authority of God. And the last part of this goes in. Notice it says, for the rulers are not terrors to good work, so do what is good. Once again, our job in the midst of a crooked world is to be good. To have a testimony in this world. Romans continues on, for this is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but because of conscience' sake. Right? God has given the authority above us to punish us. And actually, here it says, wield the sword in vain, even up to and including, I believe, the death penalty. Now, I don't have that responsibility. The church doesn't have that authority. God has given that authority to government. So I can't take it on myself as a vigilante to go take a life. That's an authority God has given to the government. But not just for the sake I'm afraid of getting the speeding ticket, right? I mean, that's a good incentive. You know, I remember when the seatbelt law came into effect. No, you know, I'm not going to do that. Until I got pulled over and I had to pay a $150 fine. And my wife says, you do that again, you're in trouble. So I click, we get in the car. She's like, are you clicked? Now it's a habit, but, you know, well, yeah, because I don't want to pay that fine. I don't want to have to do the, you know, what is it, if you do the crime, be prepared to do the time, or I don't know. That's a little bit before my time. Right? But we look at this, right? Not just for the punishment, but also eventually, why? For our conscience sake. If my submission and obedience to the government is really submission to God, then it's my conscience that I need to be aware of. And that tells me I do what's right because it's right. Not because I'm going to get caught. Not because of who's looking. Right? But I do it because it's right. And I'll tell you, I know you guys don't have problems with that, but it's hard to do the right thing sometimes. And especially it's so important as we see this world filled with so much wrong, where wrong seems to be the right thing. To go along with it. And sometimes for us to stand up and say, no, I'm going to do the right thing costs us. It costs us to do what's right. You know, if you're in a business situation, sometimes you feel like you're behind the eight ball. You feel like you're at a disadvantage. You ever felt like that as a Christian? Oh man, only if I wasn't a Christian, then I could get away with it too. I could take this and I could do that and I could play the system and, right? But as Christians, I can't do that. Are we really at a disadvantage? It may be for the short term. But everyone's going to have to give an account to God. And all the wrong that seems to be getting away with it all is going to have to stand before God. That day will come. And I'll have to give an account to God. So therefore, in light of all these things, at the very end of this, he talks around. It says, therefore, render therefore all their due. Talk about the authorities. Taxes to whom taxes are due. All right? Pay your taxes. Don't cheat the system. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Customs to whom customs. These are sort of the tolls and all these other fees that go along with it. Right? My nephew just got a job, and I love it when young people get their first paycheck, right? And they're like, who's FICA and why is he taking my money? Right? And it's like, wait a minute, what's all this? Right? Pay those things. Fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And right now, it's really fashionable to not respect authorities. You know, it used to be, I'm not that old, am I? I mean, I remember as a kid, and I learned real quick, you know, I called people Mr. and Mrs. That I remember my parents, you know, as far as I back, I remember follow politics. But they still refer to Mr. President, and they didn't agree, and their side didn't win, and all those things. But there was a respect for the office, and we've lost that. We really have. And you know what? As Christians, we're right there too. And the world says, oh, you're just like us. Hey. To give honor and respect to those is due. Timothy tells us the answer to this. It says, therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's so much in this verse. First of all, he talks about, look, who do you do these things to? For the kings and all who are in authority. What are we supposed to do to them? Right? First of all, with all supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks. You know, the first thing we should be doing for our leaders is praying for them. And not sort of like, you know, God get them, God zap them, give them, you know, cholesterol and they drop dead from a heart attack. You know, that's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Yeah, you just laugh because you've prayed that too, right? But no, with all supplications are asking for. What are the needs? Pray for our leaders. Pray for their needs. Pray for their families. We were gone on vacation, so we didn't have the TV on. And being away from it for a week, coming back, and the ads. I think there's more political ads on than TV shows on, you know. And I'm like, and it's horrible. And my heart goes out to the families. You know, the politicians are one thing, you know, but they shouldn't be treated that way. But the families are dragged through the mud and the things that are said. Pray for their needs. Supplications, prayers, general prayers, intercessions. Stay in the gap for them. Pray for their wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray that they will know God. And I think more so if it's the party that you're not part of. You know, it's easy to pray for those political leaders that we are in tune with, but how about those that we aren't lined up with? Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation if they don't know the Lord. If they do know the Lord, pray that they live up to the obligations that they've said to. And then the last one, and giving of thanks. Thank God for our president. Can you choke that down? Thank God for our governor. Thank God for those that you have placed in authority over me. Be thankful. Because contrary to what we always think, they're not always bad. And I think part of this, as we turn around and pray, I tell you, a real powerful thing happens when we pray. We humanize. When we pray for people, honestly pray for them, all of a sudden they're people who need to be prayed for. And I'll tell you, that changes us, that transforms us in our thoughts. Because right now, the way we talk about our political leaders and churches are just as bad as they're not even people. They're not even worthy to be saved. And folks, the purpose is that all men, and that's what it says here at the end of this verse, it says, in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not just our leaders. Lord, pray they find you. And God can work in our leaders, and God can reveal himself, surround them. The scriptures are filled with leaders who get surrounded by godly influences. Pray for our leaders that they get surrounded by godly influences. You know, I don't know if our president's saved or not, but I am convinced that his vice president's a born-again Christian. Praise God that he's surrounded by some godly men. Allow them that ear. Our governor, I don't know where she stands with the Lord. But I know the Christian Civic League, Carol Conley, has had an influence on, and he's a godly man. Thank God for that. Even our local levels, that we have our selectmen, we can influence those in authority over us. Lord, surround them. Help me to be an influence. That ultimately, that the gospel goes forth. The gospel above all else. Matthew tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The goal of us being here is that we are a testimony for Jesus Christ. As I said in the beginning, we are the chosen generation. We are the ones that God has picked to be at this time, to be his witness. How are we doing? Are we letting our light shine? Or are we not? And Peter wraps things up here with sort of that checklist, if you will. He says to honor all people. Right? That folks, we are surrounded by people who are people. You know, I cringe on this whole social media thing. If you're not on social media, that's probably a good thing. But how dehumanizing we've taken things. That if you don't agree with me, then you're not even a real person. The love of the brotherhood, other Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love for one another. To watch out for each other and encourage one another. That in this community, you know, we can be that testimony. What do they have that I don't have? It's Jesus Christ, but you can have them too. The fear of God. I don't know about you, but I find myself thinking more and more, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. You know, can't help but think, man, we have, you know, the hurricanes, we got murder hornets, I mean, we got pestilence, we got diseases, we have all these things going on. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord comes back even today. And then I have to stand before him as an giving account of what kind of witness was I? What did I do with what God has given me? Are you ready to face him? I'm thankful my salvation is something I don't have to earn. Jesus paid for it all. I don't have to give an account for that. But as a steward, I will have to give an account for what kind of steward I was. Then lastly, he says, in the honor of the king. To honor those that God has placed in authority over us. And as we submit to that and we yield to that. Now, we've talked about before, because I know, 2 weeks ago, it's clear. If the government asks us to do something that's contrary to what God wants us to do, we need to obey God rather than men. And we need to pray for the churches across America, because there are, right now, churches that are closed that the state is suing, because I believe the state is heavy-handed on them, not allowing the church to function as the church. Pray for these churches who are making these decisions. But with the weight of what Scripture has said, told us to do, we always kind of look for the exception. We're always looking for the but. And Lord, give us wisdom to know where that line is. That we cross it only when we have to, for the Lord's sake, and not for my own ambitions, my own desires. Because this is the will of God concerning you. To let your light so shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In these unprecedented times, how are we doing? How brightly are we shining? Or are we just a little flicker? Or even worse, are we like the one who takes our light and hides it? And then we fall into just with the world, and we can't reach those around us. If we're overcome by darkness, we have nothing to offer them except for Jesus. And they're going to want that, only going to want that if we let it shine. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, help me to humble myself. Oh, my pride is a horrible thing. And it keeps me from doing what you want me to do, because I want what I want. But Lord, help me to yield myself for the kingdom's sake, that I may do good works, have a good testimony, that I may lead them to you, Lord. Because your desires all would come to salvation. Lord, we are the chosen generation. You have called us to shine in the darkness, to share the gospel of your love to this world. Lord, help us to shine bright for your glory. Lord, we ask this in your name.